All right, well, good evening to all of you, and welcome to the Wednesday study. Whenever I miss a week, it always seems like it's such a long time between the studies. But I'm back. I'm glad to be back teaching this evening. We're still in Exodus, and we're almost done. I would say we probably are going to need maybe one or two more weeks to wrap up. We're in chapter 35 here, and we'll just start out by kind of maybe just a little bit of a review, not a whole lot, but as we all have been involved in this study, we are in this part where Moses has received instructions from the Lord on how to build the tabernacle and so forth, and he's come back down to the camp, and they were involved in idolatry and sexual immorality and all sorts of things like that, and we saw some really interesting things take place after that, where the Lord had Moses take the tent of meeting and take it outside of the camp, and he would meet with Moses there, and all the people would see that was taking place, and in many ways it was almost like a way in which the Lord was kind of making the people realize in what they did and being involved in that idolatry, it has its consequences, that it has the effect of creating I guess you'd call it like a distance, right? Between themselves and the Lord. So it interferes with their fellowship, I guess, is the point. And that is that when you sin. And we saw how Moses, on the other hand, was very much interested in being in having a relationship with the Lord and knowing the Lord more and everything else. And you could just see his heart in that. And we also saw how, he interceded on behalf of the people. The Lord really wanted, he was expressing that he was done with the people, but Moses interceded. And so we saw how the Lord heard his prayer, and he basically, renewed his covenant with the people. And along the way, he also did some really marvelous things as between himself and Moses, and showing Moses his glory, and by revealing his name, like his character, and we saw all that, and that was really, really amazing. In the last study, we saw how Moses, when he would go up and he would be in the presence of the Lord, how his skin would shine, just by being in the presence of the Lord. And it truly does make you, there's something to be said about that, right? That when we're in God's presence, it does affect our countenance, and it is something that people would notice, and so that really brings us to chapter 35. And I mean, I guess the best way to start talking about these next chapters from 35 on through the rest of the until the end of Exodus is that what's going on here is that the Lord had provided all of those instructions to Moses, right, on how to build the tabernacle, how to take an offering and everything else. And because, as we're going through it, I think I said this maybe last time, as we were going through and the Lord was giving those instructions, it almost felt like they were actually going through all of those things, right? That they were taking the offering, they were, actually constructing everything and making all of the tapestry and all that other stuff. But the reality is it was just the Lord giving the instructions. But now what we're going to be reading about is when they actually go ahead and do and sort of carry out what the Lord told them to do with regard to building the tabernacle. So in many ways, it will seem like a review, but as we go through it, we'll be able to point out some things that are really, I think, I would say interesting, like some additional things that we wouldn't have picked up, you know, when we went through and we were reading about the instructions in the first place. So let's just start out here in chapter 35, and we'll read and talk about it. So chapter 35 of Exodus, verse 1 reads, "Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together, and he said to them, 'These are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do.'" So again, we see Moses, you know, doing just what I said. He's gathering everyone together, and he's speaking to them, and he's going to tell them, you know, precisely what the Lord had spoken to him. Verse 2, it says, "Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day." And so here, what's interesting is Moses is going to get into, you know, the whole process of building the tabernacle. But before he gets into them doing all of this work towards building the tabernacle, it's sort of interesting that the first thing that is discussed is the rest, right? The Sabbath rest. It's really that's interesting in a sense, right? Because if you even think about our position in Christ, right, our salvation, you know, that's one of the things that I believe I mentioned, or if I didn't, I should have, is that you know, when we come to Christ and we are in Christ, you know, he provides that rest. He is our that we then go and do his work, okay? So in a way, you can that sort of thing is there, but supremely, you know, what the Lord is saying here is very simply that he wants them to be obedient. He wants them to obey his commandment. And this one in particular is one that you know gets repeated a lot, because, you know, we have this inclination to work. And you can kind of see that, right? If given the chance or given the choice, people would just work all the time. They wouldn't rest at all. But, you know, as we talked about when we were talking about, you know, the giving of the law, when the Lord gave that commandment of the Sabbath day, part of the sort of the importance of that is that it is the Sabbath is a preview of what the Lord wants to provide to us. He wants to provide us with this rest. He wants to provide us with this peace. And so every seventh day, he's having the children of Israel, he's forcing them to experience what he's ultimately wanting to give to them. He wants them to have that rest. And he's very serious about it. And so he's really, but in a way, it's like he's saying, like, if you cannot be obedient in obeying this commandment, then don't bother doing anything else. Like, don't bother going out and building this tabernacle. You know, don't bother doing anything. And that is, you know, something for us, you know, today too, is just that we ought to obey the Lord. You know, we should obey, you know, his commandments. That is important to him. And, you know, we all know the famous situation that occurred in First Kings with King Solomon, and how he didn't obey the Lord. And when the Lord said, you know, they were to go to battle and they were to kill all of the people and destroy all of their animals and everything else, but he decided he was going to save some of the animals and he would sacrifice them to the Lord, you know. And the Lord said, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. The Lord wants us to obey him. And so, you know, we see that sort of going on here in sort of the first thing that Moses is speaking about here. Verse 4 says, "And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'This is a thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate." And so we see these are all things that should look familiar to us, right? Because we went through these a few chapters back when the Lord was giving these commands. But we can see here that in verse 5, the first thing that's important here is that the Lord is instructing the people to come and bring an offering, but only those who are of a willing heart. And this is super important. And that particular phrase is repeated multiple times here in chapter 35. And there's a reason for that. But, you know, this is something that, you know, is worth talking about a little bit. You know, the bottom line is that God, he does not want for us to give grudgingly. He wants us to give willingly, of a willing heart. So this principle is being laid down here, is that, you know, we are to be those who have a willing heart, those that are givers. Like if we're to be Christ-like, then we are to give. And we know in the New Testament it talks about how, you know, we are to, you know, to let everyone give as they purpose in their hearts to give, because God loves a cheerful giver. We see that, just that principle. And you know, you could talk about how, like, even today, like growing up, you know, going to Baptist churches in the inner city, you know, I can't tell you the number of times that I sat in various kinds of services where you'd have somebody who is basically, you know, like basically begging, you know, or guilting, or you know, lock the doors, right? You know, we need to take this offering, and we need it for this purpose, and we need it, and just really, you know, getting the people to give, but that's not, you know, God's way. Sorry about that. I lost the connection. That was the first time that happened. Stephanie said that I was frozen. She sent me a text saying that I'm frozen, and it's even worse than that. I was completely cut off. So I'm not sure where I left off, but I was really saying that, here Moses, was instructed to tell them about all of these materials. It was a very well planned out project. And there was this inventory of materials, very organized and everything. But here's the key point on this willing heart issue, okay? I don't want to miss it, and that's this. So all along, in case it has not been clear up to this point, the tabernacle itself is to be representative of Jesus Christ. It's to be representative of the Messiah. And the Messiah, he came in this manner. He came with a willing heart. So it's like, when we look in the New Testament, it talks about how, Jesus wasn't compelled. Nobody forced him to come and to lay down his life. He gave his life willingly. And so it was very important that as they came to build the tabernacle, that everything that was involved in building the tabernacle was done in a willing way. So every aspect of the tabernacle, like the materials that were used and everything else, as we've been talking about, they were symbolic, right, of Christ. But even down to the detail of how the people were involved in giving to it is also that way. And so it goes on in verse 10 to say, all who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle, its tent, its coverings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets, the ark and its poles with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering, the table and its poles and its utensils, and the showbread, also the lampstand for the light, its utensils, its lamp, and the oil for the light, the incense altar, its poles, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, and the screen for the door at the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its bronze grating, its poles, all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the hangings of the court, its pillars, their sockets, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle, the pegs of the court and their cords, the garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests. So these are all the materials that would be involved in building the tabernacle, all of the furnishings for the tabernacle, as well as the garments for the priests. Verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And so this verse is really interesting, because what's being said here is that here Moses stands before them and he says, hey, I'm making an appeal to the people to say, hey, we're building a tabernacle, and these are the materials we need, and we're taking an offering, but it's only from those who have a willing heart. And instead of him like doing what I was saying, like standing there and twisting arms and trying to compel people and convince people and everything else, they go home basically and think about it, right? They go home and they think to themselves, do I want to give? Do I have any of these materials? And so this is a very orderly process. And again, it doesn't involve any arm twisting or anything. So it's kind of a sort of the total opposite of the way that things are done sometimes today. Then it says, then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. And so here we see that it was those whose hearts were stirred. So the people, you know, their hearts were stirred, and they were encouraged within themselves to give and to be involved in this. And it says again, everyone whose spirit was willing. So you see that particular phrase, in this case it's talking about spirit, but the same idea, right, of a willing heart, willing, that is the word here. And it says that they brought the Lord's offering. And, you know, I have that highlighted in my Bible, the Lord's offering, because the key is that when people come and they bring an offering to the Lord, it belongs to Him. And we can never forget that, right? That we're just stewards, and we are to take and to handle what is given to the Lord with care and with integrity and everything else, you know, keeping good records and being very prayerful about how the money or is being used for God's purposes. You know, one of the other things that is amazing, I mean, I'll just say a couple of things about all of this. I mean, we're talking about giving after all. One of the things that Pastor Bob said a long time ago that I think is absolutely true, but sometimes you don't really think about it that way, but, you know, giving is an act of worship, and when you get right down to it. And so when they were giving, they were really worshiping the Lord. They were showing their love for the Lord and their desire to be involved in what the Lord wanted them to be involved in. And you know, the truth is that giving is something that really blesses the giver. You know, it blesses the one who gives. And so it really did provide an opportunity for them to be, you know, involved in giving here. And these are people that apparently had a willing heart, and it was just really a matter of having something to do, right? So like they had that heart to give, but it wasn't until Moses said, hey, look, here's this command from the Lord to be involved in giving. And so now they have something that they can be involved with. And so then it says here in verse 22, they came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold. That is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. And so here you see again those words, willing heart, and you begin to see the people come and to begin to bring things. And the thing that strikes me in this very first verse, and this is like in essence like the first, you know, mention of the things that were given, are that these articles here are relatively small, right? These are earrings and nose rings and necklaces and things like that. And so you see that these are small things that are being given, but yet this is what they had to give. And the Lord, He honors this. Like the Lord takes notice of every single thing that we give, even if it's a small thing like this. And then as we go on, it kind of builds and you kind of see bigger things being given. But each and every one of these people who gave, whether it be a small thing or a big thing, whatever it was that they had to give, the Lord saw that, and He noticed it. And He does the same for us today. And then it goes on to say, and every man, verse 23, with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins of red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Verse 24, everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering, and everyone with whom was found acacia wood for the work of the service brought it. And so you basically have, you know, people like just looking to see, you know, what they have. And they were, again, in a very willing way, they all, you know, brought whatever it was that they had, you know, whether it be, you know, linen and those types of things that you see in verse 23, or whether it be silver, you know, or bronze, something that's like a precious metal, or if it's wood, a precious wood, whatever they had, they were bringing it. Verse 25 is interesting. It says, all the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. So here we have people who are using the work of their hands. Like maybe they didn't have anything. Maybe they didn't have earrings or nose rings or different kinds of linen or silver or bronze or whatever, but they were using their selves, right? They were using their hands and their skill. And so this is something to take note of, is that, you know, we all have different kinds of resources that we can give to the Lord if we have a willing heart, you know, and so it may not be that you have something monetary, but you may be able to do some kind of work, you know. And you think about like the various different things that happen, you know, like, you know, we have typically it's like it's on a Saturday and you have multiple speakers come. And prior to that, there's a lot of preparation, there's a lot of decoration, there's a lot of things that take place. And, you know, maybe you don't have, you know, money to contribute to the church or whatever, but maybe you're really good at decorating. Maybe you're really good with coming up with, you know, making different things or whatever. You know, again, the Lord notices it all. The Lord sees it all, and he's blessed by it, and he will bless us. Then in verse 26, it says, and all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. And so here you see even something else. You see that word wisdom. And so you can see that even the people were, they're not bringing material things, and they're using their intellect, right? They're spinning yarn, yes, but they're also using their intellect as part of this. And so that's just another a way in which you can give. You know, you're giving it as you look at the sort of the accumulation of what's going on here. You know, some people are bringing small things. Some people are bringing a variety of things. Some people are using their hands. Some people are using their intellect. And I can't help but there's a verse in I think it's in 2 Corinthians where you know, Paul is thanking the people for giving a gift, and he makes this statement. You know, he says, you know, first they gave of themselves, and then essentially it was easy to give to the Lord. And that's the one thing that if you think about it, that's the whole deal. When you come to the conclusion that you and everything that you have, it belongs to the Lord, you know, and you're to say, Lord, I give you all of myself, then it becomes really easy. And it doesn't even feel like you're giving, right? Because it all belongs to him. And so, and when we're really giving, we're not just, you know, giving, oh, here's some money and you, you know, you kind of, you go away, but you're willing to give, you know, every aspect of yourself, you know. It's represented in different people here, but I can see just the idea of how there could be so many different ways in which we can give ourselves to the Lord. And again, the Lord takes note of it and he's blessed by it and he blesses us as well. Verse 27, you see the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate and spices and oil for the light, for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. And so we see that here the wealthy people are bringing these things that are, very valuable things. But make no mistake about it, it's not like the rulers got, more credit because the things that they were bringing were of a higher value. Again, the Lord takes notice of all of it. And it's kind of like the widow's mite. Do you remember the story about when the Lord was standing there and this widow went and put two mites, it was like next to nothing. And the other people were putting in large sums of money, and the Lord said, that woman, she put in more than anybody, because that was all that she had. She gave everything. And just in the same way that the Lord was standing there and taking note of what was going on and knew fully the situation, he knew exactly what her financial resources were as opposed to the other people. He's taking note of us as well, in our giving. Verse 29, the children of Israel brought a free will offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. And again, all these different ways in which it's being said that this was done freely and willingly, free will offering, willing hearts. It's repeated to emphasize that point. Okay. Verse 30. And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship. And so this is, we covered this where the Lord actually told Moses, he named this guy by name and said, there's this man, his name is Bezalel, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. He has wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and all manner of workmanship. And he's the guy who's going to be in charge of all of it. And he is going to, he is just uniquely skilled, and he would be able to make all of these different intricate things and also teach all the other people how to do it so that every single detail, every thing that had to be done, it would be perfect. There wouldn't be any imperfections whatsoever. Okay. And this guy here, he was filled with the Spirit of God. And again, it just kind of shows you that when you're doing something for the Lord, he fills us with his Spirit to do all things. Like you would think, like, only like, let's say a pastor or something like that would be someone who would be filled with the Spirit or something, but no, everyone that is involved in God's work, and he will gift us, right? He gives us gifts and he fills us with the Spirit to empower us and to give us wisdom and to give us knowledge, understanding, his counsel, all sorts of things. Verse 32, keep continuing on, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach, in him and Aholiab, the son of Ahizamak of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer and the tapestry maker, and blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works. And so it's just amazing. And so there, you have this other person that's mentioned here, Aholiab, who's like the assistant to this other guy. But I just think it's so amazing how the Lord filled them with this skill, filled them with the Holy Spirit to do this. And it just, you know, you kind of look at this, and for me at least, you know, I think, wow, I would just love to really know what it is that the Lord has, you know, gifted me for, and to be able to do that. I mean, just amazing, you know, just to have a gift that God has given you, and then to be able to just utilize that gift for His glory. And so that's what they were involved in. We'll continue on in chapter 36. And Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. And so, you know, the thing that was amazing is that the Lord, when Moses was there on Mount Sinai, there for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord was showing, telling him all this stuff, he was showing him what it was to look like. So Moses has it like burned in his brain, right? Like exactly what everything's supposed to look like. But he also gave that, you know, he, you know, through the spirit of the Lord, he basically has gifted these two guys so that they would be able to produce it just as the Lord instructed. So it's kind of an amazing thing. Like, you know, it would be like if you go somewhere to have something made, like, oh, I'm going to have, you know, like a woman, I'm going to have this dress made or something like that. And you're saying, this is how I want it to be. And you kind of describe it. And then they, okay, oh, I got it. Right. And then you leave, you go back and you go, no, that's not even close to what I wanted, you know. But these guys, when Moses gave the instruction and they built it, it would be exactly like that. He's like, you read my mind. Right. And so the Lord gifted him in that way. Verse 2. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing. And so you have this really interesting circumstance. It just shows you, you know, if we missed how willing they were and how enthusiastic they were about being involved in giving and everything, if we missed that in chapter 35, this really gives us a sense for what it was like. I mean, they were really fired up, and they were really, every single day, they were just coming, they just kept on giving to the point where they had to say, you know, we have enough, stop. I mean, where would you ever see that in a church, right? Where someone is going to say, hey, you know, we have too much money. I as part of the announcements, the first announcement is, you know, stop giving so much money. We have too much money. So they restrain them from giving. Verse 7, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, indeed too much. Verse 8, then all the gifted artisans among them who worked on the tabernacle made 10 curtains woven of fine linen and of blue, purple and scarlet thread with artistic designs of cherubim, they made them. The length of each curtain was 28 cubits and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. The curtains were all the same size. And he coupled 5 curtains to one another, and the other 5 curtains he coupled to one another. He made loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain on the selvage of one set. Likewise, he did on the outer edge of the other curtain of the second set. 50 loops he made on one curtain, 50 loops he made on the edge of the curtain on the end of the second set. The loops held one curtain to another. And so we can see just in reading this, hopefully this kind of sounds familiar at least, that these are all the instructions that were given to Moses by the Lord. And it's really interesting sometimes when you're in a part of the Bible where the Lord says something and then when the people do it, like he repeats it, you know. I always still, you know, read that because I just think it's amazing to see that, like, they obeyed, you know, they did it just as they said. Like, he just wonders, like, wow, they gave that instruction. I wonder if they actually did it. Well, yeah, we're seeing that they did, in fact, do it. And he made 50 claps in verse 13 of gold and coupled the curtains to one another with the claps that it might be one tabernacle. He made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle. He made 11 curtains. The length of each curtain was 30 cubits and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. The 11 curtains were the same size. He coupled 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and he made 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in one set, and 50 loops he made on the edge of the curtain of the second set. He also made 50 bronze clasps to couple the tent together that it might be one. Then he made a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red and the covering of badger skins above that. For the tabernacle, he made boards of acacia wood standing upright. The length of each board was 10 cubits and the width of each board a cubit and a half. Each board had two tenons for binding one to another. Thus he made all the boards of the tabernacle. And so we see, you know, all of the things that took place here were exactly as the Lord had commanded Moses to do. We can move, let's just skip to chapter 37. And in chapter 37, what you have here is where they actually carried out the making of the various furniture items that would go into the tabernacle. And so you can see in verse 1 of chapter 37 that Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood, so that the ark of the covenant. And you can see there that the dimensions were the same as were instructed, you know, 2.5 cubits was its length and a cubit and a half was its width. And so you can see all the things that are going on. Verse 6, you see how they made the mercy seat, which was that covering, that gold covering that had, it says he also made the mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits was its length and a cubit and a half was its width. And he made 2 cherubim of beaten gold and he made them of one piece at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And we talked about how the mercy seat, because it was made of pure gold, it weighed likely about 750 pounds. And so it's very, very heavy. And it sat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. In verse 10, we see the making the table of showbread here. It says he made the table of acacia wood. 2 cubits was its length, a cubit its width, and a cubit and a half its height, and he overlaid it with pure gold. And so again, we see that they're doing it just as he said. They put the four rings on the corners there in verse 13, and that was what they used to put the poles in to carry the table. Verse 17, it talks about how they made the lampstand of pure gold. It was a hammered work that he made, and its shaft and its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, its flowers were of the same piece. And so it's a very ornate lampstand, you know, made of hammered work, and they used their skill to make it precisely the way the Lord commanded them to do so. Verse 25, it talks about how they made the altar of incense. It says he made the incense altar of acacia wood. And you, again, you can see the dimensions there and how it was overlaid with gold and so forth. And then in verse 29, they made the holy anointing oil and the pure incense of sweet spices according to the work of the perfumer. So again, everything being done just in the same way that the Lord had instructed them. In chapter 38, verse 1, you see them making the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood, and it was 5 cubits in length and 5 cubits in width. It was square, and its height was 3 cubits. And we see in verse 2 the horns on the corners of the of that altar, again being done exactly as described. It being made out of bronze, which we know is metal of judgment. Verse 8, we see them making the laver of bronze. And this laver is this big, like a bowl, like a tub in a way, right? That had a bunch of water in it. And this is where the priest would wash themselves, their feet, their hands, before they would go before the Lord in the tabernacle of meeting. And so we see them making that, and when we covered that, I talked about how they made that out of bronze mirrors. And here's where we get that. And those mirrors came from Egypt. And those mirrors were all, you know, polished up really quite a bit. And it was used to look at themselves. And now they used it for this laver. And we talked about how there was a symbolism there dealing with the word of the Lord. You have all of these you know, various things. I'm not going to go into like reading all of these things, but I think we're getting the idea that they are carrying out all of the instructions that the Lord gave them in constructing the tabernacle and all of these various furnishings. As we move into chapter 39, we see them actually then putting together the garments that the high priest and his sons wore. Verse 1 says, of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, they made garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron as the Lord had commanded Moses. And then it goes on to talk about the ephod and all the different things that went into the garments of the priests. Verse 6 talks about the stones that they had and how, you know, they went onto the ephod that would be on the shoulders and the breastplate that was made as well. And in verse 8, in verse 22, it talks about the robe of the ephod of woven work, all blue. Verse 27, the tunics that were artistically woven of fine linen for Aaron and his sons. And then verse 30, that plate that was made out of pure gold that had that inscription on it that went onto the forehead of the high priest that said, holiness to the Lord. And so they made that. And so that brings us to verse 32. And in verse 32, it says, thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished. And so they finished all of their work. And it says, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did. Verse 33, and they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets, the coverings of ram skins dyed red, the covering of badger skins and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony with its poles and the mercy seat, the table and all its utensils and the showbread, the pure gold lampstand with its lamps, the lamps set in order, all its utensils and the oil for light, the gold altar, the anointing oil and the sweet incense, the screen for the tabernacle door, the bronze altar, its grate of bronze, its poles and all its utensils, the laver with its base, the hangings of the court, its pillars and its sockets, the screen for the court gate, its cords and its pegs, all the utensils for the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of meeting, and the garments of ministry to minister in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and his sons, garments to minister as priests, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over all of the work, and indeed they had done it as the Lord had commanded, just so they had done it, and Moses blessed them. And so what you see here is really like an inspection. So it's almost like when you do a building project, right? If you build a house or you do some kind of a remodel or construction or whatever, and you have an inspection. So they brought all of these things that they created, and Moses, you know, he's carefully looking over everything they did, and he was able to verify that they did it just exactly the way that the Lord commanded. And so you see that taking place here. We have a few minutes. I might as well go ahead and finish chapter 40. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. And so basically they've built everything. Everything's been constructed. They've confirmed that it's been done exactly the way the Lord had planned. And so now the Lord is going to give Moses the go-ahead, right, to go ahead and assemble it for the very first time. And verse 3 says, you shall put in it the ark of the testimony and partition off the ark with the veil. And so that, you know, we all know that the Ark of the Covenant goes into the Holy of Holies, which is that smaller room. And then you have that veil in between there and the holy place. And it says, you shall bring in the table and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it. And you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. So he's bringing everything in, and he's, you know, kind of like turning everything on, you know, like turning the lights on, right? You shall also set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony. Put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. You shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. And you shall set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar and put water in it. You shall set up the court all around and hang up the screen at the court gate. And you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and you shall hallow it and all its utensils, and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all its utensils, and consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy. And you shall anoint the laver and its base and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you will wash them with water. So there's a process of anointing and consecrating and sanctifying the priest. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him that he may minister to me as priest. And you shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics. You shall anoint them as you anointed their father, that they may minister to me as priests, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, put in its bars, and raised its pillars. And he spread out the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent on top of it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it into the ark, which is, you know, the Ten Commandments, inserting the poles through the rings of the ark, and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, hung up the veil of the covering, and partitioned off the ark of the testimony as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the table in the tabernacle of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the lampstand in the tabernacle of meeting across from the tabernacle on the south side of the tabernacle. And he lit the lamps before the Lord and the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the gold altar in the tabernacle of meeting in front of the veil, and he burned sweet incense on it as the Lord had commanded Moses. He hung up the screen at the door of the tabernacle. And he put the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the grain offering, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and put water there for washing. And Moses, Aaron, and his sons would wash their hands and their feet with water from it, whenever they went into the tabernacle of meeting, and when they came near the altar, they washed as the Lord had commanded Moses. And we read about that and understand the meaning of all of that. Verse 33, and he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, and he hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covering the tabernacle of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And so we see that now that they did everything the way the Lord had commanded, that now God's presence comes into this meeting, right? It comes into this tabernacle. And so we can see here that when God's work is done in God's way, then his presence is there, right? God's presence is brought there, right? When we do God's work the way that he wants us to do it. And verse 35, and Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and the fire was over it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. And so you can see here that how the Lord led them, right, through the pillar of cloud and fire. So when it would go forward, then they would know to, they would break everything down, and now it was time to move out. And then when it stopped, that's where they stopped. So they were led by the Lord, which is what, you know, God's people are to be, is to be led by him. So that's the book of Exodus. I didn't know if I was going to, or if I could just go ahead and get through these last chapters. And, you know, we did skip over a few verses, but because it's really describing, again, what we covered before, I think that, you know, we can really understand what was going on there, that there they were carrying out what the Lord had commanded. And as a result of that, the Lord was pleased with what they did, and the Lord, you know, his presence there came into the tabernacle as a sign that that they had done things properly, that the Lord was pleased with it, and that he was going to grace them with his presence. And so as we finish the book of Exodus, I think the thing that just kind of sticks with me is that the Lord, I mean, it ultimately, at the end here, you can see that what the Lord's desire was, right? And that is to be in the presence of his people. You know, God dwelling with his people, I think, would be the thing that I'm left with as I finish up these last few chapters. You know, we spent so much time looking at the tabernacle and recognizing that represents Christ. Well, we know in John that the Word became flesh, right, and dwelt among us, or tabernacled among us. But the key thing, like as I said, is the Lord desires to dwell with us. He desires to be in our presence. That's the kind of God that we serve. So, in any event, Lord willing, next week we will pick up in the book of Leviticus. And it's always a blessing to start a new book here. And it'll be interesting to really go through that and to see, you know, all the symbolism there with all of the various offerings that are described there and so forth. So